Our guest at the cafe this morning is Dr. Kent Montgomery, and Dr. Montgomery is the department head of physics and astronomy at A&M Commerce. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning.
Space has been in the news a lot lately. Of course, the SpaceX mission, which ended very spectacularly, and then and now we have another mission to Mars, obviously unmanned mission to Mars, but lots happening in the world of space.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, the Dragon X people getting the they launched them up to the space station and then brought them back here, and everything went perfect. So that was exciting for those astronauts. We haven't done that from U.S. soil in many, many years.
Right.
Since the shuttle program stopped launching, which was quite a while ago.
And then the ocean coming back as a splash down in the ocean, that was kind of brought some nostalgic feelings back, too.
Yeah, back to the old Apollo days,
right.
Isn't it? We haven't done that in a long time.
That's right. And now this mission called Perseverance going to Mars, that's an interesting mission.
Yes, that's another one of these. About every 2 years, that's when the Earth and Mars line up properly for a launch. They launch these missions to Mars. We've been doing it for the last 15, 16 years easy. And every time we send more sophisticated equipment, find more exciting things. So hopefully this will find some great stuff. It's not going to be there until, for another 7-8 months, but
right.
It's on its way.
Yeah. Launched July 30th and says they will be there on February 18th. Of next year, calculate it right offhand, but about half a year is what it takes to get to Mars then.
Yeah, give or take, yes. That's what we call a low-energy orbit, which is the easiest way to get to Mars. It takes about 6 months.
Yeah. I see. So this one, the Perseverance, is specifically a rover, and they are this. I don't know if this is the first time that they've had one of these missions that is specifically looking for signs of life on Mars, of ancient life, former life. I know there have been things that have pointed at it or not, but as far as I know, this is the first time that they say they are specifically looking for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the underlying goal, but you kind of do it indirectly. The
right.
goals previously were to look for liquid water because we need, or as far as we know, you need liquid water to have life. So once the Spirit and Opportunity found those signs of liquid water, now Perseverance is saying, oh, hey, I got a new instrument. Let's see if we can follow this closer. See what else we can find.
Mm-hmm.
There were actual lakes and rivers on Mars at one time. Yeah, it was a nice warm place. It was a mostly carbon dioxide atmosphere, and since it's further away, that created a greenhouse effect and kept it warm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very nice. But now over these billions of years, it's cooled off and lost that thick atmosphere, and that's kind of its problem.
Right. So what they think they're likely to find, if anything, would be signs of sort of microscopic life.
Yeah. Nobody expects to find anything above kind of like single-celled organism kind of level.
Uh-huh. And that's what this mission will be looking for. And then it was interesting, they'll send another mission to get the samples and bring them back, because this one's not coming back.
Yeah, it's going to collect them and put them in like a pile, and then they got a plan to go up and get that pile and come back.
Well,
we've never brought any rocks back from Mars yet, so that's a challenge in itself.
Right, I hadn't thought of that. That's all we've seen is photographs and so on. That'll be a big deal, won't it?
Yeah, that would be great to get it back.
That's going to be exciting. All right, well, let's talk about some things in astronomy over the next few weeks. Perseid meteor shower coming up August 11th and 12th, and that's one of the big events every year, and thankfully it always happens in the summertime.
Yeah, that's one of the best meteor showers of the year. That's the one we like to promote. This year's pretty good. It's not great because we do have what we call a third quarter moon, which rises about 1 in the morning, and so the moon will come up kind of late, but the good thing about the Perseids is they're fairly far north and they're fairly bright, so about around midnight on the night of the 11th, 12th, even the 13th, you should see a good maybe 1-2 meteors in a minute, and if you're in a nice dark site.
Mm-hmm. Looking, did you say to the north sky?
Northeast is probably the best about that time of night, yes.
Okay, so around midnight, it says in the article here, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., but midnight's right there in the center, so that makes sense.
Yeah, there's not any specific time, it's just that's the best time. It's usually better after midnight, but we have to worry about the moon coming up. So
right.
After midnight, but before the moon comes up, is our best time.
Okay, so August 11th and 12th, the Perseids. And then you were telling me right now that Jupiter and Saturn are very visible, but there's an event August 27th to the 29th, and the moon will be sweeping past Jupiter and Saturn and the southern sky, and that should be should give us some very nice viewing.
Yeah, right now Jupiter and Saturn, right about 9:30, right when it starts to get good and dark, look out to the southeastern sky, and you can't miss them. Jupiter is very bright, and Saturn is just a little bit off to the left. And the good thing is, you know, the moon goes around once a month, so about the end of the month is when the moon's going to come right by there. It's going to be close to being full,
mm-hmm.
but those planets are so bright you can see them even with the full moon right next to them.
Right, so that is August 27th. That's a Thursday through Saturday, August 29th in the evening, and you'll be able to see Saturn, Jupiter, and in close proximity to the moon. That should be, you could have some pretty good viewing with binoculars and fairly simple things like that.
Yeah, Jupiter, you can even see its four moons with just a decent pair of binoculars, seven-power binoculars. Now, to see Saturn's rings, you need about 30 power, so you usually need a small telescope to get to that level.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, Kent, this is lots going on, lots to talk about, and it's all pretty interesting stuff, so thanks for having a cup of coffee with us over the telephone this morning.
Anytime.
Dr. Kent Montgomery, head of physics and astronomy at A&M Commerce. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.